When Dolly Parton and James Patterson joined forces to create Run Rose Run, they crafted more than just another rags-to-riches tale. They delivered a gritty, authentic look at the underbelly of Nashville's glittering music scene. The novel quickly became a number one New York Times bestseller, with Taylor Swift reportedly purchasing film rights before the book even hit shelves. Its success isn't surprising. The story combines Parton's intimate knowledge of the country music industry with Patterson's masterful suspense techniques. What makes this collaboration particularly fascinating is how it weaves together the glamour of stardom with the darkness that often lurks behind it. As Reese Witherspoon noted when selecting it for her book club, this story's got everything: murder, deceit, love, and, of course, country music. Annie Lee Keys stands on a rain-soaked Texas highway, thumb extended, guitar pawned, and dreams intact. Despite her desperate circumstances, hungry, broke, and alone, she refuses to cry. Instead, she sings louder, composing lyrics in her head that reflect her determination. Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. When a truck finally stops, she climbs aboard, introducing herself simply as Anne to the driver, Eddie. The ride quickly turns dangerous when Annie Lee wakes to find Eddie's unwanted hand on her thigh. After a warning goes unheeded, she pulls out a gun, forces him from his own vehicle, and drives away, singing about being driven into the darkness. This opening sequence establishes Annie Lee's core character traits: resourcefulness, fierce independence, and an unwavering commitment to survival at any cost. The narrative then introduces us to Ruthanna Ryder, a retired country music legend who has firmly closed the door on her career despite her former manager Jack's attempts to lure her back with diamond earrings. When her studio musician Ethan Blake arrives late for a recording session, Ruthanna scolds him harshly, reminding him that Nashville is lousy with guitar players with tight jeans and a tight butt who can show up on time. This interaction reveals Ruthanna's no-nonsense approach to music and life, a trait that will later draw her to Annie Lee. Meanwhile, Annie Lee has reached Nashville and stands outside the Cat's Paw Saloon, giving herself a pep talk before entering. After convincing the bartender Billy to let her perform, she borrows a guitar and takes the stage. Though initially nervous, she closes her eyes and imagines singing to her childhood teddy bear. By the second verse, she's belting with everything she has, connecting deeply with the sparse crowd who soon demand more, stomping their feet and singing along to her choruses. After her performance, Annie Lee meets Ethan Blake, who introduces himself as a fan. When he asks if she wrote her songs herself, she bristles defensively before realizing he's the next performer. Embarrassed by her rudeness, she flees the bar before his set begins. Days later, Ethan tries to convince Ruthanna to hear Annie Lee sing, describing her as someone who performs like an angel who's been cast out of heaven, yearning to fly back up to where she belongs. Though initially dismissive, Ruthanna's curiosity gets the better of her, and she visits the Cat's Paw to see this girl Ethan is so excited about. When Annie Lee takes the stage, Ruthanna is immediately captivated. Despite the girl's small stature and innocent appearance, her voice is extraordinary, a honey-colored soprano that's both clear and luminous. Annie Lee sings with wisdom and experience far beyond her years, her voice alternating between sweet trill and powerful roar. Ruthanna recognizes not just talent, but something rare, a natural performer whose songs tell stories that pull listeners in completely. After the performance, Ruthanna delivers shocking advice. Get the hell out of Nashville while you still can. She warns that the music business will chew up and spit out someone as small as Annie Lee. Devastated but defiant, Annie Lee respectfully tells her idol she can go screw herself. This confrontation leads to an unlikely friendship when Ruthanna, impressed by Annie Lee's spirit, invites her to stay at her mansion after discovering the young singer has been sleeping in parks. At Ruthanna's estate, Annie Lee enjoys her first hot shower in ages and fabricates a story about her background, claiming her parents were survivalists in Tennessee. The next morning, Ruthanna wakes to find Annie Lee gone, having left only a note thanking her and confessing to borrowing clothes and a dusty guitar case signed Firecracker. Despite her initial disappointment, Ruthanna admires Annie Lee's independence and asks her assistant Maya to contact BMH Music's Jody to help the girl, showing the first signs of her maternal instinct toward the young singer. Annie Lee quickly establishes herself in Nashville's music scene, performing at the Lucky Horseshoe as a human jukebox who can play any classic country song from memory. Her encyclopedic knowledge spans from Hank Williams to Merle Haggard, Patsy Cline to Loretta Lynn. Her performances draw growing crowds, with tip jars filling rapidly as she showcases both covers and original compositions. Regulars begin requesting her songs by name, particularly Tennessee Tears and Heartbreak Highway. With a belly full of food and whiskey, Annie Lee feels her worries fade, certain she'll make her dreams come true in Music City. However, her rising success attracts unwanted attention. Walking home one night along 16th Avenue, she's chased by a mysterious man in cowboy boots whose footsteps echo behind her. She barely escapes, hiding between dumpsters in an alley behind a row of honky-tonks, her heart pounding as she watches his shadow pass. This incident foreshadows the danger that follows her, hinting that whoever pursued her wasn't just after her money, but something more personal, something connected to the past she's desperately trying to outrun. Despite this frightening experience, Annie Lee continues performing, earning enough to stay in a cheap but clean East Nashville motel off Gallatin Pike. She visits Music Row's historic streets, expecting inspiration, but instead feels disappointed by the corporate atmosphere and closed doors of the music business. The gleaming buildings housing record labels and publishing companies stand like fortresses, indifferent to the dreams of aspiring artists. Realizing she's still a nobody to these powerful companies, she defiantly yells, "Not yet, anyway, but just you wait," at the ASK building, her voice echoing off the glass and steel. When Annie Lee returns to the Catspaw, she's surprised to find Ruthanna there again, elegant as ever in her signature black attire. Despite their previous confrontation, Ruthanna offers Annie Lee a chance to record in her private studio in Bellmead, wanting to hear how she sounds with proper equipment and real session musicians. Though terrified and thrilled, Annie Lee accepts the opportunity, embracing her drive to reach for what life has given her, a chance she never thought possible back in Texas. Their relationship deepens as they work together in the studio, where vintage guitars line the walls and a restored 1950s microphone captures Annie Lee's raw talent. Ruthanna shares stories about her rise to fame, including the challenges of touring in the 1970s when female artists weren't taken seriously, and the industry's persistent sexism, exemplified by Tomato Gate, the infamous 2015 incident where a consultant described women as merely the tomatoes in country music's salad of male artists. These mentoring moments reveal the genuine connection forming between the two women, despite their different backgrounds and experiences. Through their conversations, Annie Lee learns not just about music, but about survival in an industry that often treats women as accessories rather than artists. As Annie Lee's career begins to take shape in Nashville's competitive music scene, the shadows of her past grow longer and more menacing. After a breakthrough recording session with Ruthanna's seasoned studio band, where she showcases her raw talent and emotional depth, Annie Lee takes the initiative to visit Nashville's premier radio station, WATC, hoping to get her music on the airwaves. The program director, Aaron Price, initially presents himself as a gatekeeper to success, but quickly reveals the industry's darker side. During their meeting, he makes increasingly suggestive comments, eventually making it clear that airplay comes with strings attached, a disturbing reminder of the exploitation many female artists face. Annie Lee, drawing on her inner strength, refuses his advances and challenges him to judge her solely on merit, pushing him to listen to her powerful single, Driven. The song's authenticity and craftsmanship leave such an impression that Price, despite his earlier behavior, promises extensive airplay. This professional triumph is swiftly overshadowed when Annie Lee returns to her modest motel room to find it filled with lavish gifts, designer clothes, expensive jewelry, and concert tickets, all from Mikey Schumer, a notorious industry power broker whom Ruthanna had explicitly warned her about. Despite her mentor's cautions, Annie Lee's curiosity and ambition lead her to meet with Schumer at his opulent office. He presents an irresistible offer, a four-continent tour, primetime television appearances, and guaranteed stardom. However, when Annie Lee shows hesitation and asks for time to consider the contract details, Schumer's carefully constructed charm crumbles. His eyes turn cold, his voice takes on a threatening edge, and his true nature, the one Ruthanna had tried to warn her about, emerges like a snake uncoiling. The story takes an even darker turn when Ruthanna finally shares the tragic reason behind her vendetta against Schumer. Her beloved daughter Sophia, a promising young artist herself, had fallen deeply in love with country music star Trace Jones during his world tour. Schumer, seeing the relationship as a threat to Trace's marketable image, orchestrated their breakup through manipulation and threats. Devastated and isolated on tour, Sophia sought solace in a lethal combination of alcohol and pills, dying alone in her hotel room. Ruthanna's raw pain in sharing this story creates an unbreakable bond between the two women, their shared experiences with grief and loss bridging the generation gap between them. The mounting tension reaches a breaking point outside the cat's paw after one of Annie Lee's performances. The same mysterious men who had previously ransacked her motel room emerge from the shadows. Their attack is brutal and personal. They hurl a bottle that nearly hits her head, throw her to the ground, and one attacker pulls out a lighter, threatening to burn her while calling her Rose, a name from her hidden past that sends chills down her spine. Just as terror threatens to overwhelm her, Ethan appears like an avenging angel, his warning shots from his personal firearm sending the attacker scrambling into the night, leaving Annie Lee shaken but alive. The story takes an even darker turn when Ruthanna finally shares the tragic reason behind her vendetta against Schumer. Her beloved daughter Sophia, a promising young artist herself, had fallen deeply in love with country music star Trace Jones during his world tour. Schumer, seeing the relationship as a threat to Trace his marketable image, orchestrated their breakup through manipulation and threats. Devastated and isolated on tour, Sophia sought solace in a lethal combination of alcohol and pills, dying alone in her hotel room. Ruthanna's raw pain in sharing this story creates an unbreakable bond between the two women, their shared experiences with grief and loss bridging the generation gap between them. The mounting tension reaches a breaking point outside the cat's paw after one of Annie Lee's performances. The same mysterious men who had previously ransacked her motel room emerge from the shadows. Their attack is brutal and personal. They hurl a bottle that nearly hits her head, throw her to the ground, and one attacker pulls out a lighter, threatening to burn her while calling her Rose, a name from her hidden past that sends chills down her spine. Just as terror threatens to overwhelm her, Ethan appears like an avenging angel, his warning shots from his personal firearm sending the attacker scrambling into the night, leaving Annie Lee shaken but alive. Concerned for Annie Lee's safety after the brutal attack at her apartment, Ruthanna takes decisive action by arranging a high-stakes meeting with ACD Records, one of Manhattan's most prestigious labels. Understanding the predatory nature of the industry, she insists that Ethan accompany Annie Lee as both protector and industry-savvy chaperone. The journey to New York marks Annie Lee's first time leaving Tennessee, adding to her nervous energy as she prepares to face music industry titans. In the imposing glass and steel ACD building, Annie Lee finds herself alone in a sleek conference room filled with polished executives in expensive suits, a stark contrast to her carefully chosen but modest outfit from a Nashville consignment shop. Clutching Ethan's worn lucky guitar pick like a talisman, she faces down label head Tony Graham, a notoriously tough negotiator known for breaking new artists and sometimes breaking their spirits. When he dismissively refers to her as just a pretty little nobody and casually mentions they already have a lot of girl singers, Annie Lee's eyes flash with a determination born from years of struggle. The tension escalates when Graham challenges her to explain what makes her special among the 40,000 songs uploaded daily to streaming platforms. Without waiting for permission or invitation, Annie Lee pulls out her guitar, an act of defiance against industry protocol. She launches into a three-song performance that showcases her range, a heart-wrenching ballad about loss, an up-tempo anthem of resilience, and a clever narrative song that demonstrates her songwriting prowess. Her raw passion and technical skill leave the room in stunned silence until Tony finally declares, "She's fire!" However, when he begins discussing standard contract terms that would strip away her publishing rights and creative control, Annie Lee makes the boldest move of all. She walks out, guitar case in hand, leaving behind a room of shocked executives. This calculated risk pays off within hours when Tony calls her back, conceding to her core demands for creative autonomy and publishing rights, a rare victory for an unknown artist. The triumph leads to a magical evening with Ethan, wandering through the glittering canyons of Manhattan. Annie Lee's excitement spills over as she shares her vision for her music, while Ethan watches her with growing admiration for her fearlessness. Their celebration continues in her hotel suite, where their professional collaboration evolves into something more intimate as they trade lyrics and melodies. When Ethan begins crafting a melancholy song about being lost and broken, Annie Lee gently suggests transforming it into something more hopeful. Their exchange becomes laden with deeper meaning. "I don't know much about happy endings," Ethan admits, to which Annie Lee responds, "I don't either, but maybe we could write one." This moment crystallizes their growing connection, suggesting that perhaps their shared wounds might heal better together than apart. Annie Lee's career accelerates rapidly. Her singles gain radio play, she performs at clubs throughout Nashville, and eventually she's offered a chance to open for country star Kip Hart. Despite Ruthanna's advice to turn down the opportunity, insisting she's not an opening act but a star, Annie Lee takes the gig and delivers a triumphant performance that has the audience singing along to her songs. Her success leads to a 12-city tour arranged by Jack and Ruthanna, with Ruthanna planning to join her for the final performance in Las Vegas. Throughout the tour, Annie Lee and Ethan grow closer, performing duets on stage and gradually revealing their secrets to each other. In Salt Lake City, after a particularly intimate performance together, Ethan shares his painful past. His young wife, Jeannie, was murdered while he was serving in the military, and he was wrongfully arrested for her death before being acquitted. Annie Lee reciprocates by revealing fragments of her own story. She's not actually from Tennessee, as she'd claimed, but from Arkansas. Her father disappeared when she was 7, and her mother remarried an abusive man named Clayton who became violent toward Annie Lee and her half-sisters. Though she shares these details, she holds back the full truth about her past. In Las Vegas for her final show, Annie Lee receives a stunning black metallic dress and rhinestone heels from Ruthanna as a gift. As she prepares in her hotel room, she's suddenly attacked by a man who calls her Rose and claims she belongs to him. Using quick thinking, Annie Lee stabs him in the eye with one of the stiletto heels and makes a desperate escape attempt, finding the door blocked. Trapped with her attacker closing in, she flees to the balcony and climbs onto the railing, choosing to jump rather than let him kill her. Annie Lee plunges through the glass canopy of the hotel entrance and miraculously survives with minimal injuries. In the hospital, she refuses to explain what happened to the police, knowing her true story could never be told. When left alone, she escapes the hospital and begins hitchhiking back to Arkansas, accidentally introducing herself as Rose rather than Annie Lee, a slip that reveals her distress and divided identity. Ethan, consumed by worry and determination, liquidates some investments to purchase a secondhand pickup truck and embarks on a grueling drive to Arkansas. Working with the sparse details Annie Lee had inadvertently revealed during late-night conversations, mentions of the Little Buffalo River, a small-town diner, and fragments of her childhood, he begins his search in the northwestern part of the state. At a weathered roadside diner in Marshall, Arkansas, a veteran waitress named Betty studies the photograph he shows her, recognition flickering across her face. The woman he knows as Annie Lee Keys, she reveals, is actually Rose McCord, a local girl who disappeared years ago, leaving behind whispered rumors and unanswered questions. The revelation leads Ethan to the McCord family property, where he encounters Clayton Dunning, Rose's stepfather, whose hostile demeanor and alcohol-saturated breath confirm Annie Lee's painful childhood stories. In a tense confrontation, Ethan meets Rose's half-sisters, Sarah and Alice, before Clayton emerges with a shotgun, forcing him off the property. Hours later, 16-year-old Alice secretly meets Ethan at a local gas station, trembling as she shares crucial information. If Rose had returned to Arkansas without contacting them, she must have gone to confront Gus Hobbs first, her former husband, whom Alice describes with palpable fear as a really bad man, living in isolation deep in the Ozark wilderness. Following Alice's directions down unmarked dirt roads, Ethan locates Hobbs's derelict cabin. The confrontation turns violent. Hobbs, a hulking figure with dead eyes, attacks with a hunting knife, leading to a brutal struggle that ends with Hobbs unconscious and Ethan nursing several cuts. In the dank cellar, he finds Annie Lee slash Rose bound and showing signs of severe abuse. The rescue becomes complicated when Hobbs regains consciousness, leading to another violent encounter before Ethan can get Rose to safety. At the Searcy County Sheriff's Station, Rose finally shares her complete story through tears and trembling hands. At 20, desperate to escape Clayton's abuse, she'd married Gus Hobbs, mistaking his possessiveness for protection. His charm dissolved into controlling behavior, culminating in him selling her to a trafficking ring led by a man known only as D. For 2 years, she was moved between cities, held captive in cheap motels where she never saw daylight, forced to perform for strangers while D kept her subdued with threats and drugs. Her escape came during a rare moment of opportunity. D had passed out drunk, leaving her unshackled. She fled knowing the price of failure would be her life, eventually creating the persona of Annie Lee Keys to stay hidden. In the fluorescent-lit police station, after hearing her devastating account, Ethan looks into her eyes, still bright despite everything she's endured, and confesses his love. He makes a solemn vow, his voice steady and sure, that he would spend the rest of his life ensuring no one would ever hurt her again. The promise marks not just a rescue, but the beginning of Rose's journey toward healing and reclaiming her true identity. 9 months later, Annie Lee, now openly using her real name, Rose McCord, takes the stage at the prestigious Country Music Awards alongside country music legend Ruthanna Ryder. The Grand Ole Opry's historic stage gleams under the spotlights as the two women, representing different generations of country music, stand together. Their duet, a powerful blend of Ruthanna's seasoned vocals and Rose's raw emotional depth, brings the audience to their feet in thunderous applause. The performance symbolizes not just a musical partnership, but a passing of the torch. In a moment of profound vulnerability, Rose addresses the packed auditorium. Her voice, steady and clear, acknowledges the extraordinary journey that brought her to this moment. She expresses heartfelt gratitude to Jack Holm, her steadfast manager who believed in her talent from the start, and to Ruthanna, who became both mentor and mother figure. When she turns to thank Ethan Blake, her voice softens with emotion as she holds up her hand, the engagement ring catching the stage lights, a symbol of not just love found, but trust restored. The highlight comes when Rose is handed her signature guitar, its worn surface telling its own story of late-night writing sessions and countless performances in small venues. As she launches into Dark Night, Bright Future, the autobiographical song she wrote during her darkest days, her voice soars with a freedom that only comes from complete self-acceptance. The lyrics weave together themes of escape, survival, and triumph, resonating deeply with the audience who now knows her true story. This culminating scene embodies the novel's central message about the transformative power of authenticity and courage. Rose McCord's evolution from a frightened runaway, sleeping in her car and performing under an alias, to a confident artist embracing her full identity, represents more than just a rise to stardom. It's a testament to the healing that becomes possible when one stops running and starts reclaiming their narrative. Run, Rose, Run delivers a nuanced exploration of resilience in the face of trauma, demonstrating how music can serve as both shelter and salvation. Through Rose's journey from Nashville shadows to its brightest stage, Parton and Patterson craft a compelling narrative about the price of dreams and the cost of silence. The story reminds us that authentic artistry often emerges from life's deepest wounds, and the true success comes not just from achieving goals, but from making peace with the path that led there. Rose's triumph suggests that while running might be necessary for survival, the real victory comes in finding the strength to stand still and face your truth.